This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
This is Dolphins Rewind on the home of every Miami Dolphins game. AM 560 WQAM and streaming on the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Lexus, who invite you to see, hear, feel, and experience amazing.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome in to the Week 15 edition of the Miami Dolphins Rewind Show. Jets Dolphins. Doesn't get any better than that. Hard Rock Stadium today, 1 p.m. kickoff. This is the Miami Dolphins Rewind Show with Solana. Already had two pretty good games in the NFL. It's been a wild, crazy week in the NFL. COVID just playing a major role in everything that's going on once again. Feels like it's 2020 again. Feels like it's November 2020 all over again. I'll have you updated on... Some of the recent updates, roster updates from the Miami Dolphins. Two pretty good games already this week, though. On Thursday, you had the Mahomes-Herbert showdown. Patrick Mahomes with the game winner in overtime. And then yesterday, it was good watching the Patriots lose. I don't know how many of you caught that 8-20 game yesterday, but watching the Colts take down the Patriots. Crazy to think the Patriots had won seven straight games. There was no way they were going to win eight, right? There was no way the Patriots are going to win eight straight games with a rookie quarterback, and it's what you saw yesterday. I get the Colts winning probably wasn't the best scenario records-wise, and as we're watching the playoff standings, probably wasn't the best result for the Miami Dolphins, that Colts improving to 8-6. But, man, it's good to watch the Patriots lose. I don't know about anybody else, but... For myself, it just enough with the Patriots already. It's been terrible this season watching Bill Belichick and the Patriots do what they're doing. So at the very least, we had two good NFL games, and hey, got to watch the Patriots lose yesterday. Dolphins Jets today. Dolphins 6-7 still have the Raiders in front of you in the standings. The Steelers, the Broncos, the Bengals, the Browns. The Bills are 7-6. They have a pivotal game coming up here. If the Bills beat the Panthers, their next game next week will be against the Patriots, and that'll essentially decide the AFC East title. The Dolphins are not going to have a chance to win the division, but they still do play the Patriots at the end of the season. But yeah, next week in New England, in Foxborough, Bills, Patriots. If the Bills beat the Panthers today at 1 p.m., that's a game you want to keep your eye on. Next week, Bills, Patriots, that's going to decide the division. But if you're the Miami Dolphins, you're still sitting pretty. Maybe not too pretty, but we're going to talk about it ad nauseum. The Dolphins have to take care of business today against the New York Jets. There's no question about it, but you have the Saints next week. The Saints, we know they're not a very good team. Nobody's afraid of Taysom Hill. I get they beat the Jets last week, but let's be real. The New York Jets are just terrible. They're the New York stinking Jets, and nobody's afraid of the New Orleans Saints right now. And then it's the Titans in Tennessee. Titans right now 9-4, second in the conference, but they're just struggling. I mean, no Derrick Henry. I get they beat the Jaguars last week, but the Jaguars fired Urban Meyer. They're a dumpster fire in Jacksonville right now. That is a winnable game versus the Tennessee Titans. And then again, you finish up your schedule with the New England Patriots. This is going to be talked about again ad nauseum. Got to take care of business against the New York Jets first and foremost, because you'd hate to be in a position where you're looking back after a loss to the New York Jets and that being the difference between you making the playoffs and not making the playoffs. Winning out is what probably gets you into the playoffs, and even that might not be enough. So don't want to look back at the Jets being the difference between you being a postseason team and salvaging a season where you lost seven straight and you on the outside looking in because you lost a game that you shouldn't have to a New York Jets team that is coming in struggling and truthfully just not playing good football. Here's some of the updates, by the way, from the Miami Dolphins on what has happened this week. We know the running back situation was kind of a nightmare around Wednesday, Thursday. Savon Ahmed, Miles Gaskin, and Philip Lindsay, all three tested positive for COVID-19. That's your entire running back room, and they were all on the COVID list. Savon Ahmed and Miles Gaskin, they were taken off the COVID-19 list on Friday per Brian Flores. They're available to play today versus New York, so that is very good news. Now, elsewhere, Javon Holland, your rookie safety who has been absolutely incredible all season, he was placed on the COVID list. Fortunately, Javon Holland, taken off the COVID-19 list yesterday, Saturday. However, he is questionable to play today. So we'll find out later. He's eligible to play in terms of COVID. He's no longer dealing with that, fortunately, but he's questionable to play today and will be a game time decision. Somebody the Dolphins will probably be without today is, and it sucks to read this, but Jaylen Waddle. We learned like midday Thursday, he was placed on the COVID-19 list. And just a tough blow. I mean, Tua Tagovailoa, we've seen him play much better over the course of this win streak. And in large part, it's been due to his ability to connect and find Jaylen Waddle. And it's going to be a tough loss if he's not able to go. And for all intents and purposes right now, Jaylen Waddle, because of just the timing of it all, not going to be able to play today. He was on that COVID-19 list as of Thursday. And the Dolphins have approached this now this entire week. The COVID is just ravaging throughout the entire NFL right now. The Dolphins went back to virtual meetings. They held walkthroughs, but all players were told to meet via Zoom. Everything went back to no longer being in person other than practices. And it really does just feel like it's 2020 again in terms of how the NFL and how these teams are approaching the rest of the season. This is going to be, and the NFL has kind of adjusted the way that they're testing players now. Players who are vaccinated, they've sent out a bunch of memos. Things are changing, and the NFL seems to be adapting to this new reality that we're all facing. It really is going to be interesting to see how these teams and how the league is able to adjust and you know, get through this season. You already saw a bunch of schedule changes. Cleveland and I think the Raiders, they were supposed to play on Saturday yesterday. That game was postponed till tomorrow. So you have two Monday Night Football games tomorrow. And then there's two Tuesday games as well. Everything is changing right now in the NFL. It is going to be really interesting to see how teams are able to adapt and how they're able to withstand the new rises in COVID-19 cases that, again, are impacting pretty much every team in the NFL. Luckily for the Dolphins, it was only five or six players. I mean, five or six players is still a lot. Half your running back room was out, or your entire running back room was out for a couple days. Luckily, you have Gaskin and Ahmed back and ready to go today. And nobody wants to see Jaylen Waddle out. Javon Holland may not play today as well, but it's not what Cleveland is going through, where it seems like they're down to like 19 players for tomorrow's game. Here is Brian Flores, head coach of the Miami Dolphins. He spoke about the rising cases in COVID-19 and how he and the organization are dealing with it.
Hey, good morning, Coach. Just wanted to ask you, amidst all the crazy stuff around the league this week, and of course with you guys as well, just how the team and your coaching staff has responded to all the kind of change throughout the course of the week.
I think we've done that. I think our support staff's done a great job of adjusting, being flexible. I think everyone needs to do that right now. I mean, this setting is supposed to be or normally in person, but we've got to go Zoom because that's what the times call for. So whether it's our equipment staff, our medical staff, our cafeteria staff, everyone's kind of each department's kind of made some adjustments, to fit the new league protocols, and our players are making that adjustment as well. All the while keeping our focus, I should say, you know, our support staff has done a great job of making those changes, you know, pretty seamless, so that we can focus on, or the players can focus on the Jets, our opponent this week, which, you know, is going to be a big challenge.
Coach, on that same line, do you think you have been successful on maintaining all the COVID talk out of the way in terms of your preparation? Do you feel comfortable with the way things have been going this week, even though we've been talking all week long about COVID?
Yeah, I think this is kind of league wide. What's going on from a COVID standpoint, but you know, there's games that. A game that was played last night, games that are upcoming, and I think we've got to compartmentalize, and we know that's going on. Just as a lot of things are going on, really individually, there's always something going on, and then when you get into the building, you really focus on what the task at hand, that meeting, that practice, that walkthrough, the Jets and. Their team, which they played they gave us a lot of problems the last time we saw them, offensively, defensively, and in the kicking game. We expect that type of game again. That's what we're preparing for, 60-minute dogfight against a division opponent, and that's what we're preparing for.
Want to know about the preparation for the guys who are out with COVID. Do they have an opportunity to keep up with the Zoom in terms of the game plan, or are they coming in today kind of cold and sort of in the dark and has to play catch up?
No, we don't. They don't have days. They're not just totally off. So we've been Zooming. I think what we do is, guys who are in protocol, they Zoom into all the meetings. And obviously everything's gone virtual, so all players are in all meetings. But we've kept them up to speed on the game plan, what we're doing in all three phases. We'll try to make those as interactive as possible, and have guys answering questions and unmuting, and those guys are part of those meetings. So. But it's one thing to just meet, it's another thing to get out there and actually walk through it or practice it, which would be good to get some of those guys back into a practice setting.
In terms of game plan and the work that you're going to do today, how much do you feel like you do have 2 days? How much do you feel like you can get an evaluation of those guys coming back in 2 days?
I think, with the guys you're talking about, Savon, Miles. These are guys who do have some, some bank reps from a full season. So, I think some of the plays that are just kind of core concepts, core plays, core schemes or concepts. I think it's more just kind of getting into the huddle, hearing it, and going through it. As a more of a refresher, and anything that's brand new, obviously we got to see what that looks like as well. But if we feel good about the way it looks, how it was repped today, then we may go with one of those guys. Otherwise, we'll go with someone who's repped a little bit more during the week.
Hey, Brian. Obviously, had the news yesterday that Jalen Waddle landed on the COVID list. Just on handling that loss and how that's unique from other times you've played without other receivers previously this year.
Man, the mess is next man up. We need contributions from, everyone on the team. It's not a one-man team. It's not any one person. There's 11 guys on the field at a time. So, you know, the message is what the message always is. You know, the guys got to step up, and we need, you know, contributions from, you know, everyone. That's how you have success in this league. We understand that. Again, this is a tough opponent. They got, you know, good players. They played us tough. I mean, that game was 7-7, 14-14. It went back and forth really the entire game. We know that. We understand that. They played us well. They know us. You know, they got good coaches. They got good players. We got to play well this weekend.
Waddle primarily playing the slot. I know he's played everything. Is that next man up kind of Isaiah Ford in the slot, or what direction do you go in terms of finding guys who can contribute to the offense?
I think we've got guys who can play, you know, a few different positions. So, you know, Ford, Mike G, Albert, I think we got some options there. So, I think we kind of went through that. We got that information, you know, yesterday, basically right in the middle of meeting. So, some adjustments on the fly, and we'll kind of work through some of that today. But I think we got a few different options there.
How challenging is that when players have to adjust on the fly quickly? I know Mike plays a lot of slot, and Isaiah is viewed as one of the smarter guys on the team, could play everything. How much of an intellectual challenge will it be for them?
I mean, I kind of liken it to a game. I mean, a guy goes down in a game, right? And we got to adjust on the fly. So we always have a backup plan. And that backup plan went into action yesterday. But then, obviously, now we have a little bit more time to say, hey, you know, maybe there's some other things we could do. So then, you know, which, you know, normally in a game, you don't necessarily have that time unless, you know, you feel like you can get it run and executed or installed and executed, you know, on the sideline at halftime. But now we got a little bit more time. So we were able to kind of go back in last night and say, hey, you know, this is the way it's going. So we'll we can do this, that, or something else, or stay the same. So I know the question was, you know, how hard is that? I think it's something that happens really weekly across the league. And that's kind of what we're dealing with.
That was Brian Flores there. And yeah, discussing just the new reality. This is just what we're all facing. And in the NFL, it is no different. Coming up next on the Miami Dolphins Rewind Show, we'll look ahead to today's game versus the New York Jets. Plus, I had a conversation with Brian Baldinger, NFL analyst, who in the national media has probably been more of a Tua guy than anybody else. You hear that next here on the Miami Dolphins Rewind Show.
This is Dolphins Rewind on the home of every Miami Dolphins game. AM 560 WQAM and streaming on the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Lexus, who invite you to see, hear, feel, and experience amazing.
Dolphins Jets today at 1 p.m. Welcome back to the Miami Dolphins Rewind Show. Coming up in less than an hour, you'll have Kevin Rogers, Channing Crowder. We'll take you up until 1 p.m. kickoff here at Hard Rock Stadium. Jimmy Cephalo, Joe Rose, and Jason Taylor will be on the call. Dolphins trying to make the playoffs. Four more games left. They have to get through the New York Jets. They beat them already a couple weeks ago at MetLife Stadium. Remember, Joe Flacco came in, actually surprised us, and played a much better football game than most of us expected. That was the week after, or about 10 days after, the Dolphins took down the Ravens on Thursday Night Football. And what they did to Lamar Jackson, everybody just thought, yeah, Joe Flacco's toast. Joe Flacco's donezo. 36-year-old Joe Flacco getting his first start of the season. No chance he was going to be able to perform well. And truth be told, he did. He shocked a lot of us. Joe Flacco actually played a pretty decent football game. Dolphins still pick up the victory, though. Their third consecutive win, and now what's become a five-game winning streak. I actually asked Hawk and Crowder earlier this week, it's where you can hear me 2 to 6 p.m. weekdays here on QAM, what was the more shocking streak? Not impressive, but shocking streak this season of the Miami Dolphins. Was it losing 7 in a row? Or was it after you've lost 7 in a row, now put together a 5-game win streak? That could turn into 6 today, I understand. But where we stand right now, losing 7 straight, more shocking? Or the fact that after you lost 7 in a row to put 5 wins in a row together and now put yourself in the conversation for the NFL playoffs? I get it. A lot of bleep needs to happen for the Dolphins to make the playoffs, but still, they're in that conversation and they certainly are in the hunt. What was more shocking? And I think the easy answer is 7 in a row, right? Because none of us expected after they beat the Patriots, after they're able to pull off that win in New England, because it's a game they always lost, right? Patriots with the ball, driving down the field, just need a field goal to win the game. The Dolphins always lost that game. It's what they did, and they were able to win it. Xavien Howard, your superstar, made a big play. And you come out of that game feeling good about this team, as we did going in throughout the whole training camp and throughout the whole offseason, really feeling optimistic about this team. And then what happens? You fall flat on your face. Tua breaks his rib. You lose to the Bills in truly just embarrassing fashion. And then everything kind of spirals out of control. Now you found yourself 1-7. I mean, that certainly was shocking. But to me, after you were 1-7, after you kind of felt like you had hit rock bottom, Chris Greer was donezo. Everybody was done with Chris Greer. Everybody was kind of out on all his draft picks this year too. You're upset with the offensive line play. Nothing seemed to come together. You're losing to the Jaguars. They get their first win, which, by the way, that's going to be tough to swallow in a couple years. Looking back, Urban Meyer, one of his only wins came against the Miami Dolphins. Certainly, that's going to be something we all are going to want to forget, but lose to the Falcons, lose to the Jaguars. I mean, after you lost to all these teams, to put together 5 straight wins and have Tua play the way he's playing and have Jalen Waddle play the way he's playing, Javon Holland comes out of nowhere, Jalen Phillips now breaking records. He looks like he's a bona fide first-round pick. Certainly the right guy. Chris Greer took the right guy there now, right? Like most, I don't think anybody would argue that. To me, it's the latter. It's winning 5 straight. After you've lost 7 in a row now, to pull together these 5, maybe 6, maybe 7, 8, 9 straight victories, it sounds far-fetched. If I would have told you after the Dolphins had lost to the Bills in Buffalo that they were going to beat the Texans, they were going to beat the Ravens, they were going to beat the Jets, they were going to beat the Panthers, and they were going to beat the Giants going into the bye week and win 5 in a row, you would have laughed at me. You would have told me there's no way. What has this team showed you thus far that has showed you that they could put 5 straight wins together? It's impossible. There's no way. And, you know, just as we didn't think they could lose 7 in a row, the Dolphins shock us once again, and they win 5 in a row. At the very least, it's an interesting conversation to be had. Another interesting conversation I had alongside Alex Dono. We were filling in for Hawk and Crowder earlier this week. It was actually on a Tua's day, and nobody in the national media, you could argue, nobody in the national media has been more supportive, or maybe I shouldn't say supportive, but has been less critical of Tua Tagovailoa this year than Brian Baldinger. And he joined me and Alex Dono again, filling in for Hawkman and Crowder earlier this week.
Well, and let me start on a macro, and then I want to ask you about a couple of players. When it comes to the Miami Dolphins, you know, it's not definite because they don't control their own destiny, Baldy. They're on a tremendous streak, 5 straight wins. If they can win out their next 4, and I know I'm looking very far ahead, they would have very good odds of being a playoff team. And I think the toughest game left on the schedule would be Week 18 against New England, which could go down as a big showdown. But do you think this is something the Miami Dolphins might actually pull off? Because if you told me back when they were 1-7 that they could get themselves into the thick of it potentially for a playoff spot, they're now 6-7 on the year, I would have laughed. But they've been playing really well, Baldy. Are you feeling somewhat optimistic that Miami can at least stay into the mix for the final couple weeks?
Well, I mean, the schedule has been real favorable. Yeah. You know, you get the New York teams, you get a Carolina team that's really struggling to do anything right now. So, I mean, you can stack some wins right now like they are. I mean, obviously the big win was against Baltimore, and that got them going. So, No, I mean, you can't overlook, you know, Tennessee or New Orleans or really any of these teams, and they'll beat you. But, you know, the way they're playing without making many mistakes. Defensively, they've been awesome, and nobody's been able to really figure out their blitz zero conundrum. And so I would say that they're a team going in the right direction. I've seen teams win out, you know, and get to the postseason. Usually there's about one team a year that just finishes really strong to get to the postseason. So, you know, everybody is kind of 6-7s, you know, 7-6. Everybody's kind of in the same position right now outside of a few teams. So they're right there. They're right in the hunt.
Now, Baldy, you mentioned you've been in the film room, which is a perfect segue because it's very clear that you put in the work and you study these things. And I think some folks do less studying than others. There have been interesting narratives around Tua Tagovailoa. And I have been in the recent past very skeptical on Tua. He's been winning me over for the last month and a half with the way he's played. I still don't think he's getting a whole lot of respect because some people, when they break him down, they seem to pretend he's got a decent offensive line and a good running game. He doesn't have either of those things. So what have been your breakdowns, Baldy, on Tua? Do you think he's actually making a case where he could really be a franchise quarterback?
I don't see anything that says he isn't. I mean, I never really do. He's in a good rhythm right now. You mentioned the line in the running game. I don't know if they have any running backs that don't have COVID right now. But, you know, but that doesn't – I mean, they go to the RPO game, play action pass, they move them. You know, when you study them, though, what you do see is this. You see great arm strength. You see tremendous footwork. I mean, you have to have great footwork when you're the size that he is. And – you know, if you're 6'6", you can get away with just kind of muscling the ball down the field, you know, and using a bigger arm and that kind of thing, like a lot of those guys do. His footwork's got to be pretty much perfect the way it was. I'm not comparing to Drew Brees, but Drew Brees had perfect footwork, and that's why he was the accurate quarterback that he was. And Tua had that at Alabama. He's got it now, and you can see it. Like these RPO games. It sounds fancy, but the footwork is the key to it. I mean, you got to make a good decision, a quick decision, but your footwork's got to be perfect. And you watch his feet in the pocket, like it wows you. You know, I mean, that's why he throws a good, straight, accurate ball.
And Baldy, what about the connection between Tua and Jalen Waddle? I actually saw you tweet about it, I think, two or three games ago. How impressed are you not only by Jalen's production, but also their ability all season long to link up?
If Jalen Waddle was, I don't know, if he was wide receiver for the Chargers, like he would be averaging 14 yards a catch, and he'd have 9 touchdown catches. That's not how they play in Miami. They can't. They can't hold the ball long enough to do that. But his ability to separate at the top of routes, like tell me somebody that separates better than he does. You watch him against the Giants, James Bradbury, is a hell of a corner. He gives a lot of people fits. But you watch him at the top and how he separates. And what that does for the quarterback, it's just a comfort zone. Like, my man's open. I don't have to, like, put the ball through the eye of the needle. I can throw it out there, put it out in front of him. He's already won. And, you know, you see it constantly with his ability, whether it's short area quickness on a quick slant or whether it's down the field on a comeback. Like, he's got the ability to separate the top of his routes. And, you know, when you could do that, you give your quarterback a really good snapshot of what's going on. And he's going to have well over 100 catches this year. So I think it's been a dynamic rookie season for him, and exactly really what Tua needed, especially in light of, you know, Devontae Parker going down and missing a bunch of time.
We're joined here by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger. Let's talk about another former Alabama quarterback. Elsewhere in the AFC East, the New England Patriots have, you know, they've been a great story this year. Had a subpar, sub 500, no playoff season last year. They're right back in it now, Baldy. They're 2 games on top of the AFC East. And Mac Jones, he's having an efficient season. He's not always asked to do a whole lot. You know, like the 3 pass game that he had a couple weeks ago in bad weather against Buffalo. But he's been very efficient, and he's gotten the great guidance of Bill Belichick and company. What's been your evaluation of Mac Jones in his rookie year?
I mean, he's been outstanding. He's just gotten better and better. Now, part of the reason why you don't put him in a position to throw the ball a bunch when the winds are gusting at gale forces is he doesn't have a strong arm. And he can't throw the ball through the wind the way Josh Allen did in that game. And so it's part of who he is. I mean, he's just not going to – I want to see him in more bad weather games and see how he performs. But that would be my concern. But otherwise, decision-making, knowing where the safety valve is, understanding what defenses are trying to do. I mean, he's an advanced student, and it shows up all the time. And almost every single guy that the Patriots invested in this offseason, whether it's Hunter Henry or Janu Smith or Nelson Aguilar, I mean, it's all Kendrick Bourne, it's all paying off right now. It's paying off big dividends. So he's a big part of their success right now. They do a lot of things really, really well, but his decision-making, they're not winning in spite of him. They're winning because of him. And so he's a big part of their success.
Baldy, I hate to do this, but it's just something we've been doing on this show now for a couple of weeks. We've been asking different people. Yesterday, Ben Bolin of the Boston Globe, who, you know, he's been covering Mac Jones and seeing him week in and week out. But right now, like, who has impressed you more? And I know they're on different career paths thus far. Two has been in the league 2 seasons. He's kind of had a different career in the sense that he was being replaced by Fitzy last season, a little more unorthodox than Mac Jones, who was just thrown into the fire week one. But so far, who's impressed you more? Has it been Mac Jones in New England in his rookie season, winning 9 games through 15 thus far? Or, you know, we know you're high on Tua. You just explained it to us. But which one of those two guys do you think will have the better NFL career from what you've seen thus far?
No, you know, that question is, I mean, I'm not dismissing the question. It's just hard because they're completely different systems. They're asking the quarterbacks to do different things. Mac Jones doesn't throw a lot of RPOs. He's got a legit running game. He's got a really good offensive line. I mean, you know, the Dolphins don't have anybody that can move the line of scrimmage like Trent Brown. They don't have a commitment to the run game the way the Patriots do. So, I mean, it's really different. I mean, I think both of them are going to have really good careers. I think they both have the mind of what a franchise quarterback's got to do. You got to be able to take all the heat when the heat's there and it gets hot a lot of times. You got to be able to take it. You got to be able to block it out. You got to be able to prepare. You got to be able to get on to the next play, the next game. And I think both of them have that mental part of it, which is a huge part, because we've seen guys crack all the time when things don't go well, or, you know, the media's on them, or the fans are booing them, or whatever it is. Like, I think both these guys are wired the right way. I think it's going to be pretty cool to watch. I mean, week 17 or 18, I guess, this year. I mean, to watch those guys go at it, you know, not just maybe week 18 this year for a playoff spot, who knows, playoff seedings, but in the future years. I mean, I think it's going to be fun to watch both these guys and see how they develop, because both of them are completing 70% of their passes right now, and both of them are helping their teams win a lot of games at this moment. So I don't want to say one's I favor one over the other. That's not fair for me, because I like both of them.
Yeah, I knew I wasn't going to get anything from Brian Baldinger when I asked him to pick between Tua Tagovailoa or Mac Jones, but the reason why I asked was because a couple days earlier, Ben Bolin of the Boston Globe, and I mentioned it in the question when I asked Brian Baldinger, he said that, and Ben Bolin covers the Boston Globe. I know a lot of Dolphins fans aren't the biggest Ben Bolin fan, Ben Bolin fans, but Ben Bolin said it flat out, like, no question, Mac Jones has already proven to him, from what he's seen, to be a better quarterback than Tua Tagovailoa. And I struggle with that. Like, is Ben Bolin just, you know, putting on a little bit of a New England bias for this Miami audience to kind of trigger them and troll them a little? Maybe that's possible. But, like, what is it that so many people in the national media and so many people who cover the NFL, what is it that they're seeing in Mac Jones that they already believe he is far better than Tua Tagovailoa? Because I don't see it. And let me tell you something. Last night, the Patriots versus the Colts, I just didn't see it. Mac Jones, when he was forced to throw the ball late in the game, just 57% completion percentage. Tua Tagovailoa in the fourth quarter is one of the most accurate passers in like 3 decades. I just don't see it, truthfully. And I try to be impartial when I watch these games. I tried to watch as somebody who doesn't have a bias towards Miami, even though I understandably I do, right? I'm watching Tua Tagovailoa. I think it comes down to one very simple notion. People have this narrative around Tua, and they haven't watched the Dolphins over the past five games, and they don't care to change their narrative on Tua because they don't actually consider the Miami Dolphins a legitimate threat to the playoffs, so they're just not watching Dolphin football. I really think it's as simple as that, because if you're watching Tua Tagovailoa as closely as all of us have been over this five-game winning streak, I'm not saying he's top three quarterback in the NFL. I'm not putting him in that category. And fine, Justin Herbert, clearly a better quarterback. That's not the discussion here. But has he shown you that he can be a franchise quarterback, that he can play good football, that he can do what's asked of him, and he can win you games? I think he has. I truthfully think he has. And if you can't see that from this stretch of games, then you just don't want to see it. Flat out. There's no other way to approach it. You just don't want to see him be successful in any possible way. Dolphins Jets today, 1 p.m. Coming up next, you're going to hear from O.J. McDuffie, former Miami Dolphins wide receiver. Just to give everybody a quick heads up, Jalen Waddle is out today, but Javon Holland, he's listed as game time decision. He was taken off the COVID list yesterday, in case you missed it. And Friday, Brian Flores, he announced that Miles Gaskin and Savon Ahmed, they were taken off the COVID list as well, so they are available to play. Also from the Dolphins injury report on Friday, Clayton Fedulum, Austin Jackson, and Adam Shaheen, they're all questionable for today's game versus the Jets. And Brandon Jones, he's eligible to play today as well. Those are all your latest injury updates for today's game versus New York. It's coming up at 1 p.m. right here on 560 WQAM. Again, coming up next, you'll hear from O.J. McDuffie, Juice, and in less than an hour, you have Channing Crowder, Kevin Rogers. They'll have Dolphins game day right here on AM 560 Sports WQAM. More Dolphins Rewind is next with Solana.
This is Dolphins Rewind on the home of every Miami Dolphins game. AM 560 WQAM and streaming on the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Lexus, who invite you to see, hear, feel, and experience amazing.
Final segment of the Miami Dolphins Rewind show here with Solana on AM 560 Sports WQAM. Week 15, I had in my show notes from that I prepared yesterday, and it was from the Dolphins Wire, and it was how the Dolphins could become the 11th seed after week 15, because, you know, now it's the time where, you know, you start pulling out your calculator, you start figuring out all the different ways that the Miami Dolphins can find themselves in the NFL playoffs. And, I mean, when you look at just the conference standings, there's so many 6-7 and 7-6 teams right now, and all these AFC teams are just going to play each other and beat each other up, which is good for the Miami Dolphins. But there was a list on the Dolphins Wire what has to happen week 15 for the Miami Dolphins at the start of week 16 to be in the 11th seed, because right now the Dolphins are in the 13th seed, which is bizarre, right? They're one game out of a wild card, but they're also 13 out of 16 teams in the 13th out of 16 teams in the AFC. And the first thing listed for the Dolphins to be the 11th seed is the Patriots defeating the Colts. And it's just not what happened yesterday. But we did get the silver lining of watching Mac Jones and the Patriots lose. So there's that. Panthers, they're going to have to play the Bills today. Panthers defeating the Bills, just not likely. The other one there is the Raiders defeating the Browns. The Dolphins actually have the tiebreaker over the Cleveland Browns right now. And who knows what's going to happen with Cleveland. They're so decimated by COVID right now that and they're going to play tomorrow against the Raiders. It's going to be a tough game for them to win without basically any of their starters available. I think they're down to their third quarterback. The Broncos play the Bengals, Titans. They play the Steelers today. Just a lot of action between all the teams in between the Dolphins and their possibility of making the NFL playoffs. Now let's shift to OJ McDuffie, Juice, former Miami Dolphins wide receiver. You hear him post games on the official Miami Dolphins radio network. You hear him alongside Seth Levitt and Travis Wingfield after every single Miami Dolphins game, the Miami Dolphins radio network post-game show. He was on with Channing Crowder and Alex Dono earlier this week here on QAM.
Are we seeing Tua's progression? Are we seeing Tua turn into what we thought he was going to be out of Alabama?
Well, I think we're finding out what he's going to be for us, Channing. You know what I mean? He took some shots down the field or whatever, but I think what we found out in the last 5 weeks, and, 6 weeks, is that this is Tua's game. I think it might be his game moving forward. And so what we have to do is surround guys that handle that game well, get the ball in the hand, short and sweet, and make somebody miss, give me 15 to 80, And that's what the whole game plan seems like they're working with for the Miami Dolphins. And you see he's starting to get more and more comfortable with what he's doing out there. And that's the most important thing. And I think he's only going to get better. So, I think that the short and sweet is going to be Tua's game. And he's smart with the football. The 80% is being smart with the football, throwing it away sometimes when he has to. Don't make the big mistake, And this, Channing, the way the defense is playing, that's all he has to do right now.
And Juice. Just Jets, Saints, Patriots, Titans. Four games left. Jalen Waddle has 86 catches already. Your best year ever was 90 catches, Juice. These are facts, Juice. He got 86. Your best year ever was 90, Juice. Like, is Jalen Waddle special? Like, do you see something in this young kid that you just say, hey, this is something else?
Yeah, let's go back to you talking trash about my 90, first of all, man. I led the league, by the way, Channing. You know what I mean? Yeah, just tells you how the game has changed, right? When 90 left.
Yes. Yeah. Let me be honest. 90 back then was 200 right now with what's going on in football.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But, no, Jalen Waddle for sure, 1,000% a special player, man. I mean, I love Jalen Waddle. He's my receiver coming out in draft. Everybody, talk about other guys, Smith or Chase, but Jalen Waddle, if he doesn't get hurt, Jalen Waddle probably wins the Heisman or, is in that race as well. You don't hear about Smith, So it's like, but Jalen Waddle is a guy, I can't wait to see him. They're going to bust him out a little bit more, but wait for him to get one of them short ones and go 80 for the force real quick. Get a short one and go 75 for us. I think that's coming as well, man. But he is definitely that dude. He's tough. He's starting to get more responsibilities and lining him up all over the place on the field now, finally, to give him those opportunities to go out there and make some plays. But as a rookie, Chan, you remember, as a linebacker, man, how much did you have to learn that first year? And you're like, still, like, every game, like, halfway through the season, like, damn, am I in the right place? Still out there thinking. I think he's thinking less. He's doing a lot more, playing a lot more positions, and you see the results. You know what I mean?
A lot of Dolphin fans, myself included, have been having conversations about winning the next four games and maybe getting a playoff spot. But let's take a look at the one that's right in front of us, Juice. And I think it's easy to discount the Jets because they're really bad, and the Dolphins beat them just a couple of weeks ago. But you look at this game on Sunday, and the Dolphins do have some COVID issues and injury issues. How do you expect this game to play out? Is there any adjustment that the Jets can make to perform better down here in Miami than they did in the Meadowlands?
Well, I think they did the first adjustment when we played them up there, and they played Flacco. Yeah. I think they were looking for a quarterback that would get the ball out on time and not take the hits or the sacks or whatever. Because at that point, our defense was starting to go back to that defense from last year. A lot of zero blitz, a lot of pressures. And a young guy like Zach Wilson, sitting in that pocket, he might take a little bit of abuse from us. So I think that was the adjustment they made. Now they're going to, put him and send him into the fire and see what happens. So I don't know what they can do differently. To stop us. I know that, I'd love to make sure that Javon Holland's back. I'm not sure what Brandon Jones is going to be or those two safeties that have made it so much, so nice for us back there. But for the most part, man, I think we just stay the course. I think, we've been able to handle quarterbacks that can run. When you talk about, Lamar Jackson and guys like that, or we got guys that are sitting in the pocket like Flacco we've been able to handle. So we've been able to handle different quarterbacks. So I just think that right now, we're in a situation right now. We just continue to play the course and we'll be able to make some plays like we, you know, like on defense for sure.
And Juice, do we got to win out to make the playoffs? Because in my mind, I tell you, I don't think 9-8 makes it in the AFC, but I think 10-7 puts you in the conversation, and we'll have to depend on other people. But we have to win out to make the playoffs. That's my opinion. What do you think?
1,000%. I mean, 1,000%. No matter about all the parity that's in the league right now, I mean, it's nice to see that, you know, there are some teams that are 7-6 that are either in the playoffs or in the hunt, and we're at 6-7. But, I mean, in order to probably assure that we get in, we have to win out, and we should win out. Not saying we're going to win every game, but we should win out considering how we're playing right now.
Yeah, 10-7 is clearly the objective. And truly, I was talking about in the last segment, right? Streaks. You lose 7 in a row. After losing 7 in a row and being 1-7 to win 9 straight to be 10-7, I mean, that is incredible. And it would suck after winning 9 in a row to miss the playoffs. But if the Dolphins can put that together, it would be remarkable. There's nothing good that comes from a season where you miss the playoffs, especially this one. Brian Flores' third year. I'm not excusing it. The team shouldn't have lost 7 straight, even with the injuries to Tua Tagovailoa. Some of those losses were inexcusable. And the expectations for this team this season were to make the playoffs, period. End of story. So if they don't, it is certainly a disappointment. But after you lose 1-7, you add that context to win 9 straight, it'll be incredible. But in order to do that, you have to beat the Jets today. You're going to see Zach Wilson for the first time. Fully expect the Miami Dolphins defense to take advantage of a young quarterback who has been struggling. Expect the Dolphins victory today, and I hope that's what we get from Hard Rock Stadium. And I hope we get a big performance from Tua Tagovailoa. This is a struggling defense. Tua Tagovailoa played really good, but wasn't outstanding in New York. He did what he was asked, and he won the game, and that was great, but it would be really good to see Tua come out today, throw for 250 yards, get a couple touchdowns, link up with Devontae Parker, who's going to be out there. No Jalen Waddle, that's going to hurt, but still, the Dolphins should have enough to beat the New York Jets today. That's coming up at 1 p.m. at Hard Rock Stadium today. Coming up next, though, I'll hand it over to Kevin Rogers and Channing Crowder. It's Dolphins game day. That's next here on AM 560 Sports WQAM. I'll talk to all of you next week, Sunday, before the Dolphins take on the Saints in New Orleans, Monday Night Football. I'm excited for that one. Talk to you next week.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Odyssey celebrates St. Patrick's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.